times this morning, and that only for a moment we're going to look at this. Oh, I'm feeling very relaxed. I am. For two reasons. One, because I was saying to Mike earlier, my wife and I, we've got four children, and this morning with the clocks going forward, it totally threw them. And so we were up first. And so we had this cheeky little quiet moment this morning over a cup of tea that we never get. So I feel like I'm on holiday. I feel like I've been off for 2 weeks. And also, the other reason that I feel relaxed is that I find this fellowship here relaxing. I really, it's a ministry you've got in my life. When I talk to Mike, I feel that I can relax. When I talk to Leanne, I feel like I can relax. And that is a real blessing, because my job, as I'm sure yours is too, is incredibly busy. We've got a lot on. The other reason that I feel relaxed is that there were so many songs. I feel like God put a worship set together for me personally this morning. So many songs that we sung this morning. I knew every word. I didn't need the screen this morning. That just spoke to my childhood and my upbringing. Here I am, wholly available. I'm a musician in my spare. At one point, I had delusions of grandeur and was going to be a musician. I went semi-pro for a while, but nothing more than that. Here I Am, Wholly Available was the first song where I was ever moved by the chords of a Christian song. And there are some lovely chords in that song. So, honestly, God's really spoken to me and ministered to me this morning. And I just hope that we can just carry on in that vein as we come before his word now. Can I just pray for us all as we do that? Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you that you love us all. You see it all, Father. You know, you see my heart, everyone's heart in this room is an open book to you. And as we open your book, Father, your truth, we do willingly open our hearts to you. Lord God, speak through me in whatever way you choose this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've looked at Isaiah. You can all hear me okay, yeah? Just tell me to speak up or whatever, if needs be. We've looked at Isaiah chapter 58, and later on, do keep your Bibles open. We're going to be jumping over to Matthew chapter 26. That last verse there, verse 12 in Isaiah 58. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and raise up the age-old foundations. I'm reading a slightly different version to what Mike read from, but same truth. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets and dwellings. I have here an email that I received earlier this week. Let's get the admin done first, shall we? Good news, there's a guy called Ray Holden who has emailed me. Ray Holden is a specialist practitioner and researcher in urban and rural regeneration, and editor of the Journal of Neighbourhood Renewal. And he's pleased to announce a new and updated series of training seminars that I can go to if I want to find out how to do all of that stuff. Isn't that lovely? I get this sort of thing all the time in my work. I wonder if he's read Isaiah 58 and he really knows how to become a renewer of communities, if he really knows how to restore and regenerate, and where the source of that power truly comes from. Because that's what we've got, you know. As people that are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, we have in us God who is able to work through us. Incredibly, somehow, he uses us lot, right, to work through him, to actually make a difference in the hearts and lives of people. Not that people would be able to one day attend our seminars about how to do it, but that they would be able to look at God and say, you've done wonderful things in my life. You are the source of creation, and you get this because it's all yours. And then they can fall down in worship and the rest will flow. Isn't that incredible? Prophecy is massive, isn't it? It's a massive subject for us. Now, I've got a tailor-made sermon illustration for you guys today that I can guarantee you cannot be done other than probably this week, today, with you lot in this room right now. So this is bespoke ministry, people. I want you to feel so privileged. If you just take a look up there, you can see a police car balloon stuck on the ceiling there. Yeah, and there's another one over there. I watched both of those balloons fly up there last week at a children's party that I was pleased to be at last week with my son Israel, who is 5. Incidentally, having a child called Israel means that you can rebuke them using Isaiah whenever you want, by the way. But the Israel was here mucking around, 5-year-old's party, absolute pandemonium. I was not relaxed the last time I was here. And there are a couple, you know, you get the older brothers and the older sisters that are older than the 5-year-olds, and they're trying to join in with what's going on with the 5-year-old's party, but they're just too big and they want to have it large. They've been allowed to have their mate over just to basically to shut them up whilst you're doing your kiddie's party. And so it wasn't actually his party, it was his friend Finley's party. And these lads decided they were going to punch those balloons. That's what they were doing, that's what they were up to. Which is, I have to say, I remember being a lad, that is a fun idea, right? So they're punching that balloon, and they were delivered a prophecy by Alex, their dad, who's a mate of mine from the school run. And he said, please stop punching those balloons, because what will happen is the ribbon will break, and then they'll fly up there, and we might end up we might lose our deposit on the hall, basically is what he said. We don't want to leave any mess behind at all. Did they listen? No, here we are. Prophecy, there you go, your tailor-made prophetic illustration for you. Only this week could I do that. Next time I come back, and if you'll invite me back, that is, next time I'm here, they won't be there. So there it is. When you see those balloons for next few weeks, prophecy in action. Because it's not God's not just when he does prophecy, he's not just predicting the future. I don't know if you saw in the Times, actually, the report when Mystic Meg died. Do you remember Mystic Meg from the National Lottery? Mad as a bag of cats, used to do these joke predictions as to what the numbers will be or what the person would be like that's going to win the National Lottery. She passed away, I think she was 84. And I saw this in the Times, and I happened to be friends with a mate of mine from St. John's who's the editor to the letters at the Times. He's the guy that decides what goes in, so really quite an important guy in worldly terms, you know. And I messaged him straight away and said, "Dear sir, didn't see that coming." I thought that's a great letter to go in the Times about that article. Anyway, Mystic Meg died, and with her, all worldly prophecy, as far as I'm concerned, is now dead and buried, right? She was the only worldly prophet I ever saw. But what she was trying to do that horoscope stuff. I've got the Times here. I do not believe, I will read this later because it gives me a little bit of a break, but I do not believe that this newspaper is able to even accurately tell me what happened yesterday. Let alone what's going to happen tomorrow, right? And I think we're all there. Greenwich Food Bank has been engaged in a huge amount of media over the last year. And it's been a bit of a learning curve for me to be involved in that process. And one thing I can definitely tell you when you're dealing with the media, and you might have dealt with them yourself, is that you have got to be so precise in what you're saying, because of the huge agenda that they might use your words for. There are certain people that I know I would not speak to, because you could say the right thing and they will edit you, splice you, dice you, and then you've said the wrong thing, you know. Do you remember the politician that said, that there was a Tory politician, I forgot his name, and he said one of the ways that we could end the need for food banks is if everybody learnt to cook. And he was put across the media and absolutely pillaged for this, for saying, basically sounding like he was being a bit of a Scrooge, saying, oh, it's their own fault. What people don't know is that that politician has actually been a volunteer at his local Trussell Trust food bank for many, many years. And the Trussell Trust food bank are working on a major project, very similar to the one that is being worked on with Leanne and Cab, where they're just trying to help people get upskilled, because they have identified, actually, not in a non-compassionate way, but just in a, people need to learn how to cook, and if they can do that, it will help them use their money more wisely. That's all he said, but he got spliced and diced. Newspapers, they're not prophecy at all. This guy that emailed me, he doesn't really know how to renew streets and housing and dwelling. God isn't trying to predict the future at us and make us scared in this prophecy. He's trying to engage with us. In Isaiah 58, he's saying, look at me. When you look at what they were up to, These guys in Isaiah 58, and you can look in the first kind of five verses there, they're fasting, aren't they? These are people that by and large are quite godly, aren't they? Let's be fair to them. They're humans like you and me. I don't know. You might have fasted this week. We are in the middle of Lent, which is a time when a lot of people do choose to fast because of the church calendar that the Anglican Church and the Catholic Church subscribe to. But it is a time where a lot of people fast. It is a godly thing to do, and it is a right thing to do. If any of you said to me today, Jamie, you know what? This week I'm going to be fasting. I would not turn round and read Isaiah 58 at you and say, oh no, actually in Isaiah 58 it says go and help the poor instead. You're barking up the wrong tree, so you just need to come and volunteer at Food Bank, actually. Or Leanne could do with some help at CAP, so get over there. That's not what this is saying. God's trying to engage with these people where they're at. And that does involve some God saying, you're getting this bit wrong. That does involve some of that. And God says that to all of us. He says that to me all the time. He says, Jamie, I love you, but you're getting that wrong, mate. And we need to realign. Focus on me. Let's make this happen. They thought they knew what they were doing. They thought they had the right strategy, didn't they? Strategy is a word that I use all the time. It's part of my jargon that I spiel out day after day, week after week, as a lovely guy that works in the third sector. That's an annoying phrase, isn't it? In the charity sector, to try and communicate to local businesses and various people what it is we're trying to do. Strategy is something that we need. Trussell Trust, of which Greenwich Food Bank is a part, has a strategy. It's got a strapline as well. We're going to end the need for food banks in the UK. Because we recognise that food banks are just there as a sticking plaster. They're not the answer. They've not always existed on this scale. And we need to get back to a place where central policy is in a situation where we can believe that the state will provide the essentials for people, that can be guaranteed. There's something prophetic in that, actually. That's a type of prophecy, isn't it? It certainly came from God, and I can tell you that the CEO, Emma, prayed long and hard into that with her board of trustees before they decided that that was what they were going to do. And they weighed up all the questions you might weigh up in your mind when you hear someone make an audacious claim like that. It should be. If I go out there and say, we're going to end the need for food banks, people, The usual response I get is, good luck with that, mate. It's going to be a while. And it is going to be a while. But there's something prophetic in that, isn't there? Some humans have set a strategy. Just like these humans have set a strategy here, haven't they? We're going to fast. We're going to have some festivals. We're going to make sure that we come before God. We're going to create a whole calendar to make sure that everything is done at the right and proper time. We're going to get ourselves covered. We're going to make sure that God is honoured here. And then God steps in and he says to them, it's pointless, you've lost your heart. You've lost your heart here, people. Most of all, you've lost your focus on me. By being so religious and being so invested in whatever it is you're invested in, actually you've forgotten to be nice to each other. You've forgotten to love one another. You're arguing all the time. And you're completely ignoring all these people around you that need your help. He may as well say to them, do you not remember what I said to Abraham when I started all this? When I set your vision and I set your strategy? Do you not remember that you were supposed to be a light to the nations? Not looking inward and obsessing over your inner rituals. Not overdoing all of the guidance that I've given you and that becoming your thing. But you should be looking out and you should be helping the poor. It's a brilliant passage for any guy to come to a church and preach on if he's running a food bank, isn't it? I could right now go, here's the Trussell Trust vision. We're going to end the need for food banks. Who's with me? God says it's a good idea. Isaiah 58. Let's pray. Go. We'd have some volunteers. You would probably give me all your money. Wouldn't that be wonderful? And I'd be able to go back to my board and say, it's all covered. Don't worry. These guys stepped up because I smacked them over the head with Isaiah 58. And they were amazed. They were blown over. Right? We could end there, couldn't we? We could actually say, well, God's saying to you, here's your application. It doesn't matter who puts the chairs out, Mike. It doesn't matter about the PA at all. It doesn't matter about anything that you're doing. And if you're getting a bit pious, then pack it in. And you need to focus on God, and you need to help Leanne out a little bit more. You need to. I could do that, couldn't we? We could just apply that, done. Simple as that. And then I'm off, and it's there. But Scripture's not like that, actually. Because I've got a problem, guys. Jesus said something that kind of scuppers what Isaiah's saying. Can you believe it? We've got an issue. This isn't the only thing that he said in the Bible about helping the poor. We're going to come to Matthew 26 in a minute, but I'm going to tell you another example from my own life of when we've got this kind of Trussell Trust prophecy. We have the great prophecy of the balloon that, behold, it came true. And then we've got this other prophecy. This is a prophecy that was delivered to me when I was a bin man. Just before this role, I was working as a bin man for Royal Borough of Greenwich, and I was in my first week. And it was 5 a.m. and I was stood just near the Yorkshire Grey roundabout where there's the McDonald's. And I was engaged in what we can probably graciously call an HR process. There's not much HR process when you're out there in the wild with the lads and the bin lorry, right? So I'm there and they say to me, this is how this is going to work, right? You need to follow that truck from Yorkshire Grey all the way up Eltham Hill. And when you get to Blackfen, you need to stop loading that side of the road. You need to cross over and then load all the way back down to Yorkshire Grey. Don't worry, they said. We'll be sorting other stuff out. That's all they gave me. At that point, the truck, I kid you not, drove to the first bin. Lights went on. Tail came down. Door opened. Driver gets out and goes, come on then. And that was it. That was my training for the day. I had several miles to get through. And they'd said to me, don't worry, we're going to sort other stuff out. Did I believe this? Not really, no. There was a very large McDonald's in the background that I thought they were going to get some very large breakfasts in while I was working, being a new boy. The promise in this prophecy was that if you just do this, you'll be home by 11 o'clock. We'll be done and dusted, right? That's the prophecy. By the time I'm on my way back down the hill, an hour later, loading away, driver's not said a word to me. I'm loading bins like a good lad. I don't know where these other guys are. How much do you think I was believing this 11 o'clock you'll be home prophecy? How much do you think I trusted my situation right then? I was actually livid. At that point, I was like, I think I made a bad move becoming a bin man here. I think I'm just going to basically be shoved around the whole time, and I didn't know what was going on. I made it back to Yorkshire Grey, and to my horror, these guys are walking out of the McDonald's toward me, carrying some bags of food. At this point, I was like, this is an absolute joke. This is an absolute joke. This prophecy is not true, right? This is not coming true. These guys come over to me, and one of them hands me a bag, and he said, well done. I know that's a bit of graft. I've bought you some breakfast. We've gotten the rest sorted. I spent the rest of the day going round realising that these guys had worked 20 times harder than I had during that hour and a half. These guys had prepared everything so that we could get home by 11 o'clock. And what I worked out in that situation was that my position with that whole prophecy of you'll be home by 11 o'clock if you just do this, if you just take this action, was a position of ignorance. And these guys knew better than me. And I ended up on that crew working with them for the next 4 years, because it turned out that I was working with two or three, really, of the hardest working men I've ever had the privilege to work with. Prophecy is not just, God's not just trying to tell us what to do. He's not just going to give us all the answers. That's the easy route for God, just to say, this is the future. He's not. He's asking us to go loading, load to Black Fen and back. And by the time you get back, you'll be changed and you'll be ready and you will have learned. You're not going to know what I'm up to the whole time. You might think I'm in McDonald's when I should be getting the rest of the round ready. You might think that I'm inactive. It might look like that to you. You might be justified in thinking that, but you don't know what I know. I've been doing this longer for you. Let's find out how Jesus disagrees with Isaiah, shall we? Matthew chapter 26, verse 6. I'll read this to you. Do turn it up in your Bibles as we go. But also just listen to this. While Jesus was in Bethany, in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, that's incredible in itself, isn't it? A woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. Why this waste? They asked. This perfume could have been sold at a high price, and the money could have been given to the poor. Aware of this, Jesus said to them, "Why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with me, or the poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. I tell you the truth, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." Oh no, Trussell Trust is wrong. The poor will always be with us. Shall I phone Emma now and say, Emma's the CEO of Trussell Trust, by the way. Emma, I've just read my Bible, I've got bad news. And that Jesus says, your vision's kaput. Jesus says that the poor are always going to be with us. You're not going to end the need for food banks in the UK. It's the biggest problem that I think we have, isn't it, as Christians, when we have these visions of what we're going to achieve and what we're going to do. Like, let's start a national health service. Do you remember when we started that, Christians? Remember? Or let's start education. Do you remember when we did that? And that when we have these big visions, were there people there going, well, the sick will always be with us, so why have hospitals? Did they say, well, stupid people are stupid people, aren't they? Like you're never going to get across it, so why start a school? Jesus said, the poor will always be with us. What do we do with this? Let's step back from scripture for a moment and just think about ourselves, just for a moment. Because it's not good to dwell on yourself too much. We're Muppets, right? We need to focus on God more. How are you doing with God in life? Forget the fact that I work for a charity. Forget all of this, right? Forget that it's Food Bank Sunday, right? How are you doing with God in all of this? Do you get him? Do you understand your Bible, or do you find it hard to understand? Do you understand God, or do you find him hard to understand? Do you consider yourself to be right on the money with every aspect of your life and you're getting absolutely everything right, or do you consider yourself to be getting some stuff right? Be fair to yourself. This isn't about getting stuff. Everyone gets some stuff right and that, but getting other stuff wrong. How do you feel about your job? How do you feel about everything that's in that newspaper there? Do you understand much of it? Do you trust what you're hearing? How do you feel right now in the middle of a cost of living crisis? How do you feel when you've got the Anglican Church having the debates that it's got at the moment? And even though I know that isn't this expression of church, what happens centrally with those people that are perceived to be our leaders? It matters, you know, when you start to see these big divides. How are you feeling? You possibly might feel a little bit like a bin man in his first week, a little bit far away from God. How do you feel when you hear Isaiah say, break the chains of the oppressors, we can do this, not only is this what we can do, but it's actually what you should be doing. And how do you feel when a local lad from a food bank comes along and says, we're going to end the need for food banks, and you can't quite see it? And how do you feel when you hear Jesus say, the poor are going to be with us? Do you get a bit lost in all of that? Because I do. And I do this for a living, right? I get lost in it. That's okay. Be lost. Be lost. Exist in that. You're not going to get it all. Ask your church leaders. They don't get it all. They just don't get it all. At all. They're leaders because they're seeking, not because they found, right? That's why they're leading. Whatever your situation is this morning, if you can't see God, if you look at the Bible and you find it entirely unhelpful and it seems like it disagrees with itself all the time, that's okay. I've been there too. Sometimes I am still there with various bits. And yet we have this moment. You see, these disciples that are so indignant, they're like, oh my goodness, why are you pouring that perfume away? It's Food Bank Sunday on Sunday. We could have sold it and given the money for Jamie. This is perfect. We could have given it to our local food bank, couldn't we? But you've just poured all of this away. And that they've got, like they've said, they're trying to end the need for food banks here. And that, and he's got some great illustrations about balloons that I'm sure you'll absolutely love. We could do this, right? This is a great little vision. The disciples were always trying to tell Jesus what his strategy would be. They were always trying to tell him that. I'm always trying to tell him. My entire working life is me gently trying to prompt God in a direction that I want him to go in, and then learning gradually that actually he just needs to shape me instead. That's in a nutshell what it's like to work for a Christian charity. Another time that the disciples said to Jesus, here's what your strategy should be, and they were even more ridiculous in this situation. Jesus is outside this Feast of Tabernacles, and Jesus actually is trying to deal with some stuff with his heavenly Father about healing the entire world of its sin and being a sacrifice for all at the time and conquering death. That's Jesus' agenda at the time. And while he's thinking about these things, the disciples say to him, and the reason that it's not strategically right that he goes down to the Feast of Tabernacles is that it would happen too early. He's not going to make those moves until his Father's told him, right? He's holding that strategy. He's like, that's a not now yet. When my Father says go, I'll do it. And I've got some prayer to get through before I even know if that's what he's saying. And so that's where Jesus is at strategically, right? And the disciples go, you know, Jesus, that's a public figure. It would be really good if you went down to the Feast of Tabernacles. And they just stop short of saying, and maybe do a few miracles, that'll impress people, and then they really will know that you're the Messiah. They just stop short of it. They just stop short of it. And that, but they are, they're telling him what to do. And he says to him, you know what, guys, any time's good for you. And that, but I'm not really interested in your timing. And just here we've got Jesus just sending a little prophecy to them in this moment in Matthew 26. He's saying to them, listen, the poor, that's a thing, right? That's always going to be a thing. Remarkably, Jesus knew in that moment that one day there'd be a guy called Jamie talking about food banks, right? 2,000 years later, he knew that in that moment, which is amazing. The disciples did not. The disciples were like, we could do this. They'd read Isaiah 58. They'd already been on that part of the journey. These guys, they weren't doing religious fasting. In fact, they joined a separatist group that was trying to take down the established religion of its day. So they'd read that and they were applying that. But then Jesus is taking them deeper and he's saying to them, oh yeah, you can swing too far the other way, lads, actually. And that in this situation, true worship, true fasting isn't just to mindlessly go into social action. It's me. Who made the world? Me. Who gave you your covenants? Me. Who's the new covenant? Me. Who should you worship? Me. What's your very great reward at the end of all that? Me again. It's all God. It's all him. Cap. All God. Food bank is all God. This church, all God. That newspaper, all God. This bloke's email, all God. God is in all. And this is where I want to bring us to today. Because today, I don't want your money. Greenwich Food Bank doesn't want your money at all. Greenwich Food Bank wants to end the need for food banks in the UK because we believe that's what God is calling us to do. And we're halfway through the bin round and we don't quite know how we're going to get there. And there's a whole load of prophecies going on. The only thing we know is that we get there focusing on God. Because sometimes we need to ditch the rituals and give to the poor. Sometimes that's what God's saying. Sometimes God's saying, Jamie, guys, just pour your perfume on me. Just worship me. Sometimes he's saying, this is a moment for the Trussell Trust vision to shine. Sometimes he's saying, hold fire. I've given you greater perspective than this. The poor will always be with you. It swings. In your life, as a human being, there's going to be that swing as you engage with God. The only thing we've got is the opportunity to seek him. That's all we have, to focus on him. That's the only place you're going to find whatever answer it is you're searching for. There's a lot there, a lot of strands, including a bonus balloon. We were talking about where we'd go after this, just during the week. There was a little email exchange of what song should we sing after the talk. And where it started and finished quite quickly was the song Spirit of the Living God, Fall Afresh on Me. And that's where we need to be. That's where we need to be, as a food bank, as a church, as followers of Jesus, as Christians against poverty, as it all. We just need to be asking God to fall afresh on us right now. So thanks for having me here. I hope some of that landed in some way. Chat to me after if you want to. But most of all, focus on God. Just use these moments just to focus on him. He'll tell you what's next. He'll tell you what to do. Can I just pray? Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much that it's not your food bank. I thank you that this is not our church. I thank you that Christians Against Poverty, Debt Centre Greenwich is not ours. We thank you that it's yours. Lord God, we thank you that it's yours. Teach us, disciple us, make us like you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.